Canto 11, Chapter 30, The Disappearance of the Yadu Dynasty. The Honourable King Parikshit said, "What did the Supreme Lord and Protector of all living beings do in Dwaraka after Uddhava, the great devotee, had left for the forest? Please tell me how he, the chief of the Yadus, gave up his body most dear to all eyes, when his family found destruction after being cursed by the Brahmins. Attached to his form, the women could not turn their eyes away from him, and, having entered the ears of the sages, his form, occupying their minds, would not leave them. How attractive were the words that by the ambitious poets were used to express his beauty! And what to say of those who, seeing him on the battlefield on Arjuna's chariot, acquired a similar status of being liberated." The powerful Rishi Shuka said, "Observing the great disturbances that had appeared in the sky, the earth and in outer space, Krishna addressed the Yadus seated in the Sudharma hall as follows. The Supreme Lord said, 'O best of the Yadus, considering these fearful, great and inauspicious omens, which are like the flags of the king of death, we should not stay a moment longer here in Dwaraka. The women, the children, and the elderly should go from here to Shankudhara, and we will go to Prabhasa, where the Sarasvati flows westward. There we should purify by bathing, fasting, and fixing our minds in meditation, and then worship the gods, the idols, with various offerings, ablutions, and alipa. When the Brahmins have performed the ceremonies for our well-being, we will give them cows, land, gold, clothing, elephants, horses, chariots, and houses. This is the course we have to follow in order to avert misfortune and bring about good fortune, for to worship the best among the living beings, the gods, the Brahmins, and the cows, brings about the highest perfection.' After they all thus had listened to the enemy of Madhu, the elderly Yadus said, 'So be it,' and crossed over by boat to the mainland to head for Prabhasa in chariots. There the Yadus performed, in accordance with the instructions of the Lord of the Yadus, the Supreme Personality, all auspicious rituals with transcendental devotion and everything else that would strengthen them. Then they, as destined, lost their intelligence, drinking from a large supply of sweet-tasting mayareya, honey liquor, the ingredients of which overpowered their minds. Among the heroes, bewildered by Krishna's illusory potency, a terrible quarrel arose because they, intoxicated of the excessive drinking, became arrogant. Infuriated, they on the shore took up their weapons, their bows, swords, bala arrows, clubs, lances and spears, and fought. Attacking with arrows, they most enraged faced each other with flying flags, riding chariots, elephants and other carriers, asses, camels, bulls, buffaloes, mules and even humans, just like elephants in a forest, fighting with their tusks. With their enmity aroused, Pradyumna in the battle fought ferociously against Samba, Akrura against Bhoja, Aniruddha against Satyaki, Subhadra against Sangramajit, Sumitra against Suratha, and the two Gadas, the brother and a son of Krishna, against each other. Others also, like Nishatha, Ulmuka, and more of them, headed by Sahasrajit, Shatajit, and Banu, confronted and killed each other, blinded by their intoxication and totally being bewildered by Mukunda. Completely forgetting their friendship, the Kuntis, the Kukuras, the Visarjanas, the Madhus and Arbudas, Vrishnis and Andakas, the Bhojas, the Satvatas, the Dasharas and the inhabitants of Mathura and Shurasena slaughtered each other. In their bewildered state, relatives killed relatives and friends killed friends. Sons fought against their fathers and their brothers, nephews against uncles, paternal uncles against maternal uncles, and well-wishers against well-wishers. Running out of arrows and having their bows broken and missiles used, they took up cane stalks, eraka, those stalks held in their fists turned into iron rods as strong as thunderbolts as they attacked their enemies with them, and even though Krishna tried to stop them, they attacked him as well. Confused, with their minds turned to killing, they mistook Balarama for an enemy, O king, and also raised their weapons against him. The two of Balarama and Krishna then also most furiously joined the fight, O son of the Kurus, and engaged in killing, using the stalks in their fists as clubs as they moved about in the fight. In the grip of the Brahman curse, with their minds clouded by Krishna's Maya, the fury of their rivalry led to their destruction, just like a fire of bamboos turns a forest into ashes. When all of his clans this way had found destruction, Krishna concluded that, as was planned, the remaining burden of the earth had been removed. Balarama on the shore of the ocean resorted to meditation on the original person and, merging himself within himself, gave up the human world. Seeing that Balarama had left, the Supreme Lord, the son of Devaki, found a pepala tree and quietly sat down under it. Exhibiting his four-armed form, he, like a fire without smoke, with his brilliant effulgence dissipated the darkness in all directions. With his Srivatsa mark and grey-blue cloud-like colour, he wore a heavenly pair of silken garments and radiated with his ornaments like molten gold. His face, which, like a blue lotus, smiled beautifully with his charming lotus eyes, was adorned with his locks of hair and gleaming shark-shaped earrings. Splendid, with a belt, a sacred thread, a helmet and bracelets, arm ornaments, necklaces, ankle bells and other royal symbols, there was also the Kastuba gem. And so he sat there, with his right foot reddish like a lotus, placed on his thigh, with the forms of his personal weapons in his hands, and with a garland of forest flowers around his neck. His foot, that had the form of a deer's face, was then pierced by an arrow of a hunter named Jara, who thought he saw a deer. The arrow was fashioned from a fragment of the iron that had remained from the by the Brahmin's cursed club that had been destroyed. When he, Jara, saw the four-armed personality, he, afraid of having committed an offence, with his head down, fell at the feet of the enemy of the Asuras. "This sinful person acted in ignorance, O Madhusudana. Please forgive this sinner's deed, O Uttama Shloka, O sinless one. O Master, what I did in disrespect of you, Vishnu, was wrong, O you whose constant remembrance, so they say, destroys the darkness of ignorance of all men. Please kill me therefore immediately, O Lord of Vaikuntha, so that I, a sinful deer hunter, may not again commit such an offence against the saints. What can I, impure by birth, say about him, about you and the destruction of the Yadus? The operation of your mystic power is not even understood by Virincha, Rudra, and the other masters and sons of the Vedic word, because their vision is clouded by your bewildering potency." Sri Bhagavan said, "Fear not, O Jara, please get up, for what you did was my desire. You have my permission to go to heaven, the abode for those who are of good deeds." After thus having been instructed by Krishna, the fortunate one who generated his own form, he circumambulated him three times. Then, bowing down to him, he departed in a vimana to heaven. And Daruka, searching where Krishna was, coming close, scented the fragrance of tulsi and went in that direction. He found him there, brilliant and effulgent, surrounded by his weapons and resting at the base of the Ashvata. With his heart overwhelmed by emotions, he rushed down from the chariot and fell, with his eyes full of tears, at his feet. "O Master, not seeing your lotus feet, my power of vision is lost, and I fail to know the directions, nor can I find peace, just the way one in the night of a new moon lands in darkness." As he was speaking thus, straight in front of the eyes of the chariot driver, the chariot, along with the horses and the flag of Garuda marking it, rose up in the sky, O King of Kings. And while Vishnu's divine weapons were following, Janardana spoke to the driver, who stood perplexed about what was happening. O driver, go to Dwaraka and inform our family members about the mutual destruction of their close relatives, about my condition, and about the passing away of Sankarsana. You and your relatives should not remain in Dwaraka. Now the Yadu capital has been abandoned by me, it will be flooded by the ocean. Each of you should take your own family, as also our parents, with you, and under the protection of Arjuna, go to Indraprastha. You, however, I wish to remain firm in my devotional service with indifference about material affairs being fixed in spiritual knowledge. Understand that all of this was a creation of my Maya, and thus find inner peace. After being addressed by him, he, Daruka, circumambulated him, over and over offering his obeisances. He placed his head at his lotus feet and went with a sad heart to the city.